people, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining. People, their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
I got back, I flew from Kansas City to Nashville, and I had a 3.5 hour layover there. Now, I don't ever mind layovers, especially in Nashville, because in the airport in Nashville, they have live music. You've got all these aspiring country stars living in Nashville, and they come and play for tips in the airport. So I sat there and I listened to the people in the airport play music, and then I flew to Miami. I got to Miami. Now, if you've ever flown into the Miami airport, it's a huge airport, and the arrivals are down on the top bottom, departures are on the top. That's fairly typical in a lot of airports I've seen. So I arrived at the bottom. Now, I just want to set the context for this, okay? When you arrive, it's this... The airport, of course, is sort of circuitous, and it also turns, etc. So when you, it's not just one area when you arrive. Arrivals start and go on for almost a mile, weaving underneath. And when you land, you come out, and there is three lanes of traffic, a median, two lanes of traffic, a median, another lane of traffic. So you're looking at 6-7 lanes of traffic. I want to give you the idea of how, what all is going on. And they're all packed, okay? They're all trying to work their way underneath this area, which, by the way, I think is, now that I think about it, I'm sure there's a reason arrivals are at the bottom. But the problem is you're under there with, there may be, I don't know, 2,000-3,000 people all waiting on cars. And then you've got 300-400 cars all in the semi-trapped area with car exhaust, but it's not too bad. Anyway, I was originally going to take a shuttle down here to the Keys and decided instead to take a Lyft, because that would mean I'd get here 3 hours earlier, because the shuttle was going to be a few hours wait again. And I'd already waited, as I said, for several hours at the Nashville airport. So instead, I decided to take a Lyft. So I call a Lyft. Now, I get this thing saying there aren't any drivers. We may not be able to get somebody to take you to Key Largo, and that's okay. Now, to go to Key Largo, it's $112 one way. And I was willing to do that simply to save myself the time of waiting on the shuttle. So I ordered a Lyft, and it said that the Lyft would be here in 10 minutes. Well, it, sure enough, 10 minutes, it showed that the Lyft was arriving, said the Lyft is here. The Lyft is here. You need to get in the Lyft. So I'm looking, walking back and forth, up and down, can't find this driver. So I call the driver. He declines the call. You can tell it's declining because it's in the middle of a ring, and you can tell. So I call the driver again, does it again, call him again, does it again, call him again. I called him four times. I texted him twice, no response, because I'm getting this countdown that says the driver is here and will be leaving in 4 minutes, and you're going to be charged 3.5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. And with 30 seconds left to go, the driver texts me and says, I'm almost there. Well, come to find out, what had happened was it had gotten triggered because he was dropping a passenger off up top, I guess. I don't know. I think he actually, you have to manually press it. So he had said that he was there to pick me up, and he was not. And the story begins. This is just the beginning. So I go, and he finally shows up, and every Lyft driver and every Uber driver, men and women that I've known, gets out of the car, grabs your bags, and puts your bags in the car. Not this guy. His name's Rodolfo, by the way. If you ever get an Uber guy named Rodolfo in Miami, decline it. So he doesn't come back and help me with my bags. And it's not that you have to help me with my bags. I don't feel that way at all. It's just that that's part of the service. So I was a little like, whatever. So I put my own bags. He didn't get out of the car. Put my bags in the back, went around, got in, and we drive out about a mile and a half out of the airport. And we're on our way. to the Keys. And I said, to myself, I want to get my sunglasses. So I look back for my briefcase to get my sunglasses, and my briefcase is not there. He's got one of those mini SUVs, and I'm in the back seat, and there's a cargo area, and I look, and my briefcase is not there. Now, my briefcase has my laptop on which I'm doing today's Jumpstart. It also has thousands of hours worth of work. It is also a MacBook, which is a pretty expensive computer to replace. Plus, it had my glasses, it had my passport. You know, that feeling of, oh my God, my life is in there. So I said to the driver, oh no, I left my computer. Oh my gosh, I left my briefcase. We need to go back and get my briefcase. He says nothing. I said, did you understand what I just said? And he goes, I understood you, just like that. So I'm thinking, already I'm making plans. Now the thoughts that are going through my head, I mean, because this is important. I was thinking about this. What's his name? Not Jason Sudeikis, but I can't think of his name. Anyway, the writer, he talks about when things go wrong in your life, it sucks not to be a writer, because when things go wrong in your life, or you're going to do a daily jumpstart, you've always got some way to contextualize this and give it meaning. So as we're going back, I'm thinking, all right, what do I know? First thing I need to do is to know in my mind that I'm going to get the briefcase back. I can't go into this worry and pity, but now my ego, of course, goes, you're going to need to cancel your passport. You may not ever find your laptop, but then my ego is also, or my mind is saying, well, it's an Apple. It's got a tracer on it. I probably can find it. So I immediately went into problem solving while we're headed back to there. So as I'm in the process of problem solving on my phone, trying to find my computer, I get an alert on my phone that says the driver, whose car I am in, has canceled my ride. He's canceled my ride. And I'm sitting right there in the car. And I said, you canceled my ride? And he said, yes. I mean, this guy could not have been more of a jerk. He said, yes. I said, I need to go home. I said, I waited on you almost 20 minutes and now you're canceling my ride. He says, I can't wait on you. I said, it's probably going to be sitting right there. We'll just run up and get it. He says, no, too bad. I mean, he was literally that much of a jerk. So he drops. We get back into the line of cars, all right, this mile of arrivals with cars stopping. We just can't get by. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I got to get there quickly because the chance of someone stealing my briefcase increases the longer it sits. That's my perspective. And again, I'm doing deep breathing. I'm telling myself it's going to be there, et cetera. I get out of the car. I finally just tell the driver, look, I can walk there faster. So I get out and I'm running and it's over. It's got to be a mile. And I'm pulling my suitcase and I'm going in between people, et cetera. And about halfway, I got to probably door number 8. Now, I had been dropped off between doors 18 and 19, picked up rather, between doors 18 and 19, all the way over here. The driver had just dropped me off at door number 1, and I had run, soaking wet with sweat. I get about halfway through, and there's a police officer sitting there in a cop car. So I little boy inside of me, my mom was always, you know, something's wrong, talk to a policeman. So I went over to the police officer and I explained to him what was going on. And I could tell he was interested in helping me. He didn't have anything else to do. He was sitting in his car. And so he gets out and he's wearing one of these red, white, and blue masks that you pull up over your nose, which he did. And so then he wants me to go with him in the opposite direction towards door number 1. I said, no. I was picked up at door 18 and 19. I left the briefcase there, I'm sure. I need to go this way. The cop is just insistent that I go this way. I finally looked at him. I said, look, I know you're wanting to help me, but my briefcase is most likely in that direction, and that is the direction I am going. So I literally just abandon the police officer who's trying to get me to walk this way. Well, he follows me, trying to help me, which is good. I mean, the guy is trying to help me. He's radioing ahead. He's telling me, now that guy over there that works for the airport, if anybody found your briefcase, it's him. Meanwhile, I'm going as quick as I can. And the cop is not keeping up with me, which because he's not as motivated as I am, which is fine. I'm not slowing down waiting on this cop. So I'm at probably door number 16 now. And remember, I was picked up between 17 and 18. And at this point, I cut back into the median. I'm running along the side of the airport. I cut back to the median. And I'm running up the median, dodging people. You got to understand, there are thousands of people everywhere. And everybody's doing this because they're all looking for their driver and their car and whatever. And I'm trying to run through them. So I get to in between doors 17 and 18, and there is this what looks like a mother standing there with a daughter. And I'm going to guess the mother is in her early to mid 40s, and I'm guessing the daughter is probably 10 to 12. The little girl is wearing glasses. Maybe she was a little older. I want to say the little girl had braces, but anyway, she had glasses. And in between them, lying on my on its side so that it's up so that you can easily see it, is a gray briefcase, identical to mine. And so I go, is that your briefcase? And I'm just so, imagine how anxious I am at this point, okay? The driver has dropped, has canceled my ride, dropped me off a mile away from where I think my briefcase is. Police officer's trying to take me in the wrong direction. I get there and son of a gun, it's there. It is right there. And I go, oh my God, you have just saved my life. And this woman says, we were guarding it. We found it right there in the road. I had left it in the road. And she said, we found it. And we decided that we were going to hang on to it until somebody came to get it. Or our ride came. And if our ride came, we were going to look inside, find out whose it was, try and call the person, or we were going to leave it at the terminal. And I was just, I was so excited. I mean, my next to having maybe lost Teddy and somebody said, oh, here's your dog, having re-gotten my, gotten my briefcase back, I was so thrilled. And I was going, you saved my life. That's what I just kept saying. You saved my life. My life was in that briefcase. So I pull out $20 and I said, I want to give you something. Thank you so much. And I could, they were like, whoa, no, 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 no. This is not the end of the story, by the way. This is not it at all. So I give them the $20, even though they weren't super duper excited about it. And I'm walking away and the police officer finally catches up with me. And he said, I said, I got it. I got it back. I got my briefcase. I said, this mom and her daughter, they found it and they were sitting there guarding it for me. And the police officer, and this is where the story takes a turn, who is white, looks over at the mother and the daughter who are not white, black. And he says, guarding it. Sure. Yeah. Guarding it. Yeah. That's what they were doing. And I'm like, no, no, really, really. They were guarding it for me. They kept it for me. And then when I tried to give them money, they wouldn't even accept the money. And the police officer, and yes, this is a Miami-Dade County police officer, not an airport cop. This is a Miami-Dade County cop, looked at them. And you could see the disgust because they were African-American. And he goes, yeah, you keep telling yourself that those people were guarding your briefcase. And he even did air quotes. And as I walked away, I was pissed at that cop because I thought to myself, when I'm in trouble, my mother always said, run to a police officer. If I were black, I think the last thing I would ever do is run to a white police officer. And I saw it in that moment so clearly. I just saw how racist this guy was. And all I was grateful. So here's the point I'm trying to tell you. As I went and sat and waited for my shuttle, which I waited for about an hour, my mind started going, my ego started saying, well, I wonder if maybe he was right. Maybe if he knew these people, and it wasn't because they were black, but he just wanted to steal it, that he just knew that people really were. And my ego started going to these crazy ideas that maybe this guy was right. And then I went, wrong. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The story in my head is that this wonderful mother saved me this huge hassle and her daughter. And by the way, when I gave the mother the $20, she gave it to her daughter. She said, well, sweetie, that's what you get for helping people. And I thought to myself, I get to live in a world with good, helpful, loving, considerate, giving, kind people all around me. And their goodness is not dependent on them looking like me with white skin. There are great people everywhere. And yet this police officer lives in a world where certain types of people are bad. Now I have friends that are cops. I grew up with we had a family friend who was a cop, and you can become very jaded. And at the same time, we need to look beyond people's skin. We need to look at their hearts. We need to, as Dr. King said, judge people on the quality of their character and not by the color of their skin. And I'm here to tell you, the people that had a quality of character that I met with yesterday, the white police officer maybe for trying to help me, but that was his job. These people showed quality of character. So beyond this, I got up this morning, and like I said, I woke up late because I got in late last night, and I wanted to share this with you, and then I realized, but I don't want to just tell you a story. I want to tell you that we need to look beyond the stories in our head, and we need to create better stories. The first story that I told myself was, I'm going to get my briefcase. I'm going to get my briefcase. I got to tell you, this is true, and you're going to laugh. I leave stuff all the time. I got out of a cab in New York City and had left my phone. I got the phone back at about 2 o'clock in the morning. My wife at the time had called repeatedly until the driver found the phone, brought it back, and I gave him $100 to bring it back to me. Anyway, because he was all the way out in Queens and I was in Manhattan. The next night, I left my phone in a limousine. And I tend to leave my AirPod case. And I've left it. And my first thought is whenever I leave something is never, well, that's gone, is I'm going to get it back. I'm going to get it back. I remember one time I was in Seattle, Washington, and I went for a meeting in a building, and I had this beautiful pen I had just bought, and I was carrying it. And obviously, I had done something and dropped the pen. And I realized while I was in the meeting that I had dropped this very expensive pen. Now, I had a couple of choices. The pen was on the sidewalk in front of a building on Pine Street in Seattle. I could have broken up the meeting or rescheduled it. I could have said, oh, but it was an important meeting. I didn't want to do that. And I just kept telling myself, the pen is there. The pen is there. The pen is there. I'm going to get it. An hour later, I walked out. And this was a very expensive, several hundred dollar pen was sitting there. So the first story we need to tell ourselves is stay calm. It's going to work out. It's going to be okay. And then the other thing is don't get caught up in other people's stories. Tell yourself the very best story that you can tell yourself in a situation, because you're going to begin to act like a character in that story. And then you'll be able to get it back, or then you will feel better and you are more likely to attract it. I'm sorry, I'm looking at all your comments and there are so, so many. Jerome says, good morning, everyone. Sherry says, grateful. By the way, if today's your first time, please let us know. And if you're here with us, please click share right now. Share this message with other people. Other people need to know to create better stories. Grateful for a morning routine with Jumpstart Community, enjoying a cup of coffee with beautiful South Florida weather, says Sherry. Dominic and Juanita, it's up to 58 degrees in New Berlin. It feels like 56. You nut. Grateful for a beautiful, quiet morning. Gloria says, grateful for a beautiful beach my pets and my life. Wonderful. I'm grateful for your briefcase and your angels. Me too. Linda says, wow, I know. What a story. Kathy says, nice people. Oh my gosh. I am in shock. Heartbreaking. Now we're getting to the part where I tell you about the fact that the cop was being racist. If they weren't saving it for you, it would have been gone. That's exactly the point. If they weren't saving it for me, it would have been gone, number one. Number two, they wouldn't have put it in such a way to make it so obvious when whomever had lost it showed up. Courtney, hey, Courtney, I am grateful I have food to eat. So many people here in the world have nothing to eat. Good morning from Montego Bay. Always great to hear from you down in Montego Bay. Sorry you ran into a bad egg. Police officers I work with are angels. Gloria, I am glad to hear it. Yes, the thing is, when something like this happens, we hear about it. And on the one hand, we tend to go, we can't paint all police officers as bad because they're not at all. But yeah, there are some people out there who are racist police officers, and that's when we find out, that's when we see beatings and things like that. Jennifer says, I was not expecting that. Linda says, hooray for good people. There is such good in the world. I agree. Good mama. I think that was Jennifer when I said that I gave the money to her and a mother gave it to the daughter. Such an amazing story about deep-seated racism in our country. The policeman was wrong. I agree. Here's the thing. Police officer doesn't think he was wrong, racist. Police officer thinks he's right, unfortunately, and that's a sad thing. So heartening that our police who still think that way. I agree, Ed. It's kind of frightening. Willow says, Ed Wilmot, it's what the police see every day and they become jaded. Probably a very, you know, very good point. Shared says, Willow, thank you. Willow is the first one to click share this morning. I love this. Thank you for sharing. I'm working hard on changing my stinky thinking to only be positive. You know, it is so easy. I'm reading this book on dialectical behavior therapy. And it's all about wanting to become able to control and regulate your emotions. And when this was going on, regulating my emotions was very difficult. But I also knew in that moment, I was telling myself that this is an opportunity not to lose it. I told the driver, I told him, I said, this is unacceptable from a Lyft driver. I said, I'm going to call Lyft and complain about you. He didn't say anything. I didn't. I just let it go. You know what? The more you stir the pot, the more the stuff stinks. There are so many comments here, everybody. Makes me think of your pet bird story, Meemaw. Yes, it is. Very similar, actually. Good morning from Kansas City, says Jamie. Hope everyone's having a wonderful day. I do, too. My daughter left camera in a New York City cab, says Willow. Then a woman who got in the cab made it her mission to return it and did via from Venezuela. Wow. Ed Wilmot says, the myth of ages past guided people for centuries. We no longer have myths and stories to guide us. Musicians and artists try their best. I agree with that. We've also got people like me. I'm trying to do that. That's what I'm doing. Bigotry is so ugly, says Shirley. Grateful for unbiased people. People still looking on the outside for what they don't have in themselves, in yourselves. Christelle says, often Indian people get treated bad here in Australia. Well, that's true. When they shop in my store, I treat them very nicely, and they always seem so very grateful and happy. I read, by the way, Meemaw says, shared. Thank you so much. Wonderful book. The history, it's history of America, but it's written from a Native American perspective. Great book, very depressing, but it really talks about in every country, there's a them. There's a bad. They are always considered to be then the minority. Dirtier, less educated. Their men are often out to impregnate the ruling class's women in a way of weakening the race. And this has gone on for thousands of years in cultures. This is just, the America is just the most recent. Gloria says shared. Meemaw says shared. Who else is going to click shared? Jennifer, good to see you. So true, our quality of life begins and ends between our ears. I heard that. Will that help you stop crying, Christelle said. Not exactly sure what you are asking. You mean DBT, dialectical behavior training? I'm not exactly sure what you're asking. Lorna, good to see you. Only arrived here, so not sure what the convo is about. Picking it up, so hi. Hi, good to see you. Linda Starn says hi. We've gone 10 minutes over time this morning, friends. I'm sorry for that, but I did so want to share that with your story. And the way we get this story shared to help other people is you click share right now. Click share and tell your friends if you would. Lorna says she's in the Scottish Highlands. I love this. We're in so many wonderful places. I'm here in the tropics. We're in the Highlands. We're in Ireland. We've got people from Australia. Thanks, everybody, for joining me this morning. I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. I'm going to go make myself another cup of coffee and try and wake up. Listen, whatever happens, tell yourself the best possible story. My ex-wife, Marty, I still consider to be just a wonderful, wonderful person. She is the most Pollyannish person I have ever met. I always say that she's the person Pollyanna calls to talk to when Pollyanna's in a bad mood, because Marty is always going to put a good spin on it. Give it the best spin you can. Yes, that jargon we were talking about, controlling emotions. Oh, DBT training is awesome. Yes, I highly recommend it. If you have trouble with controlling your emotions, check out the DBT workbook, Dialectical Behavior Training Workbook. Very easily written, very easy to work through and to go through. And it's very helpful. If you grew up in an abusive and angry family with a lot of shouting, etc., it helps you work through and figure out a lot of your stuff and work on your own skills. All right, everybody. I could talk all day, obviously, because I love being with you. Thanks so much for enjoying today, sharing your energy and your love with me today. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.